Blog Talk Radio. perché farci stare, but I guess for the privacy, I guess ours.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the seventh day, Seed Radio. You have a righteous gathering from the first and the seventh. So this is the seventh day of Tabernacles. You say you, the first day and the seventh day. Because one thing about it, and we find out that definition of the word tabernacle, it means Yahweh. You find out what that word means in writing, see. You can know a lot of things, but until you got it in writing, it's not authentic until you got it in writing. So you know how to find exactly what tabernacle means by going to Jubilees, chapter 16, verse 27, and tell you exactly what it means. The Bible speaks plainly once you are one of the ones that are elect, and he'll put a 334 on you. 334 means he will give you this information without measure. So that's where you know when you're on track. When things start coming to you from him and he starts pouring it on you and you got that spirit right, Yahweh keep pouring it on you. No doubt about it. So we just going to stroll down on the international side and see who all joining us for the seventh day. Put your mind on the network. On the seventh day. The seventh day. This is the day that the Almighty have made. The first day and the seventh day, that's the day you have your white garments on for the first and the seventh. That is white garment time. First and the seventh. Now, once we get off into what we get ready to talk about, we'll find out exactly what he got on that one. So we'll tell you the whole story, see, right? This ministry of I will tell you in last night's lesson. If you got anything to say about the six anointed camps, do what Paul says in 13:18. Pray for us, but we can continue. And if your prayer can get past your ankle, put in a prayer up for us to continue to bring you what you need to know. And thus says Yahweh. Because one thing we found out, one thing, that tongue can get you in trouble. And he did let us know in last night's lesson that tongue. He said, I'm going to take care of the murmurs and backbiters and complainers. He said, I'm going to do them some damage. And that is in last night lesson. So we're not going to digress to last night lesson. That's why it's very important to understand one thing. Yahweh is bringing everything to an end. So keep that in your mind. So you put up last night's tape and you put that on the table with the one that's coming up now and tomorrow. And you'll say, my. Then you'll say, well, it's got written in business of Paul. If I only knew, I would have done nothing else but this kind of business. If I only knew that I'm not going to get judged, that I will be judged according to my works in Yahweh. Not in my works, but according to down to the world. If the world tie you out, okay, fine. But the other world that's coming, that's the world you want to get into. So, got that out the way. So we just going to throw down the international side and get us a peek. And so, and see exactly what's going on the international side. And it reads, all the slots are filled on the international side. That's 195 international countries. And what's flashing out of New York? New York. What's flashing out of New York? 111 147. 111 147. 111. 4 ones and a 4 and a 7. So whatever 4 ones is and a 4 and a 7, we'll bring our elder in. He'll tell you all about it. And then one thing, this is the seventh day. The first day in the seventh day is the feast. First day, seventh day. This is the day where you got to begin with your white garments on. And this is the day, the seventh day, you have your white garments on. So this is it here right here. First day, seventh day. Here it is right here. First day, seventh day. And we lied that all the camps is open. Every camp is open when the sun set, but come on the network at 7:30. On the network at 7:30, but class has already been going on. Matter of fact, the sun set. My brother T. Israel, he's been having plenty to say for the last hour or so. So, that's understandable. So now what we're going to do, we're going to bring the elder in and we'll see what he's working with on the 41s and the 47 and bring him in so you'll meet your elder. We'll meet our elder. With a loud voice, you said, Elder Mr. Taylor, Yahweh be with you there, C. Ray.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Grow. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Elder, well, this is the seventh day. The first day is a righteous gathering. The seventh day is a righteous gathering. The day of tabernacle is really Yahweh's day. But this is it, see, right? This is it. It's on the table. After this, We'll tell you exactly what happened after this. But right now, we're dealing with 195 international countries, 1-1, 1-0-1, and 4-7. So whatever 1-1, 1-1, 4-7 means, take your time there, Elder, and we'll just see what we can get going on the seventh day of the tabernacle, which really is the feast of Yahweh. You on the clock, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And if I did get those numbers correct, it looks like we have 111,147 listeners that came to hear the words of Yahweh, and that's a good thing, because we always have new and exciting information, as I usually say. One of the topics we're going to touch on is the final cap on this bees honey. I've been getting a few questions on it here and there from certain members, and I'm going to touch on it, and at the end of the topic, cover a few verses in the Bible where honey is covered. You know, people have came and asked me, Mr. Tibbs, you know about honey, but can you eat the honeycomb? Well, actually, I had forgotten. So what I did, I called one of the beekeepers. He laughed at me. He says, you forgot what we taught you? Yes, the honeycomb is totally safe to eat. He says, you know, I told you, people have been keeping bees and eating honeycombs for several thousand years. Okay, well, I'm sorry I forgot, so I got back with the people to ask me the question and let them know, yes, it's perfectly safe to eat. Also, ancient manuscripts and drawings in Egypt, which we know is Mizraim, the word Egypt, at the time of the pharaohs, depict beekeeping as an industry way back during then. But the Israelites' hive appear to be the oldest living hives in the region and perhaps in the world. Now, this brings up another question someone asked me. How long can you keep bee honey? Well, I had answered that briefly in one meeting, but I'll tell you, honey can stay around longer than you can live. That's a fact. This information you can find on your smartphone. Facts has been known. They have found 3,000-year-old honey in a pharaoh's tomb still eatable. Can you imagine that? Use your smartphones and find that information. When bees gather their nectar from flowers, it's stored in a honey sac inside their bodies. During storage, the bee's saliva mixes with the nectar, which stoker is made mostly from sugar. Enzymes and in the saliva convert those sugars into honey. The honeycomb comes into play when a bee gets back into the hive. The comb itself is a network of hexagon cylinders which is made from the waxy secretions of the worker bees. As these cylinders are filled with honey, they are capped with yet another layer of wax. The bees do all this to create food for themselves. In fact, every pound of honey gathered by people that we take from them, the bees make and consume another 8. So these are some busy guys, right? Do your homework, you'll find out what I know. Honey processors typically gather these bee wax combs and crush them and run them through a centrifuge, you know, if they got that kind of money. But most of them use like a squeezer to squeeze it out to extract the liquid honey. But increasingly, you can find tubs of unbroken honeycombs at groceries and farmer markets, not the stores. It's a golden and waxy sticky substance, and the easiest way to extract it from the tub is usually with a fork or a spoon after the stuff is squares out. Honeycomb is totally worth seeking out. That's right, it's totally worth seeking out. You'll find kids love it. It looks cool. It tastes great. And some of you that have had the actual jars of honey in the temple with the comb in it, not only does it taste great, you get to be amazed with the little ones, in fact, such as the distance of a bee would fly to produce just 1 pound of honey 3 times around the earth, you know, if you add up all their flying time. A honeycomb can go places where honey can't. A dazzling honeycomb over a salad seems to be a good topping with a crust of goat cheese and hunks of honeycomb. It's simply a heavy way to eat more vegetables. Now, honey uses in the Bible. We look at how the Bible tells us the promised land to the Israelites was described as a land of flowing with milk and honey in the Bible, and is a sign of abundance, ease, and prosperity to be found there. It was stated, "Then he said, I am the Yahweh of your father, the Yahweh of Abraham, the Yahweh of Isaac, and the Yahweh of Jacob," or Israel. At this time, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at Yahweh. Yahweh said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, Mizraim. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of Mizraim, Israel, Egyptians, and bring them out into that land of good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey, and the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." You can find this in Exodus chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Second step, honey in the Bible was used as a symbol of good health for Samuel. Now it was stated, "Now the men of Israel were in distress that day because Saul had bounden the people under an oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, for I have avenged myself on my enemies.' So none of the troops tasted food. The entire army entered into the woods, and there was honey on the ground. They went into the woods, and they saw honey oozing out, yet no one put his hand to his mouth because they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard of this. His father had bound the people with an oath, so he reached out the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it into the honeycomb. He raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened." You can find this also in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 24 to 27. This is for those that take notes. The third note, honey in the Bible is also used as an honored gift. This statement says, "Then their father Israel, if it must be then to do this, put some of the best products of our land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift, and a little balm and a little honey and some spices and myrrh and some nuts and almonds." You'll find that in the book of Genesis. For those who know where Genesis is, we have some people trouble finding the book of Genesis. Chapter 43, verse 11. The fourth step, the book of wisdom extols the goodness of honey. It was said, "My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet unto your taste." That's in Proverbs 24, verse 13. And finally, John the Baptist survived on honey in those days. The Baptist came preaching in the deserts of Judah, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken unto the prophet Isaiah, the seer Isaiah, a voice of the calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Yahweh and make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. You will find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through verse number 4. So as you can see, we come to you live with the information that you need to know about Yahweh's word and all the statements that come from the King James Bible, learning how to connect the books, your health, and as I just talked about, foods that you should eat and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is information you all came to seek, and now you found that what you have sought and the voices of the true Israelites, tribe Yadah, that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. Now the bottom part is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We're also using a website address. To use this on any search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the big line, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you may see menu. But clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us once again in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahweh, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Now, I always remind everyone that when you do this, to remember that Yahweh loves that you're forgiven. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give. What's in your mind? To keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh Live. Also for building a school, banquet hall, radio station with land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar, as was mentioned earlier by the seer. That will help keep you in tune with the feast days, you, your family, and friends. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, type in three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After you click enter, look for the voices of the true Israelites, tribe Yadah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject, or related topics answered. The other is YHDH, YSRAEL, @gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahweh in mind. The first would be our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is an international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. Now, for anyone who has missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show that would be today after 10:30 p.m., except Fridays. Program time would also be repeated after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. Type in Yahweh Radio Live. After clicking enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites. Choose the program you are late logging into, or actually at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Pal Talk, we will be listed under ethnic group. African American, look for Voices of the True Israelites. This is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any questions about the on-the-table topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. We will be taking no comments off-topic or more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the elder will block or restrict misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember the most important thing. If you're trying to win that Bump the Gums contest where you're listening to the Word, you're going to miss all of Yahuwah's glory which is said unto you. You have to remember, we are rehearsing the Righteous Act to learn Yahuwah's words. So at this particular time, so we can put an emphasis on that learning, keep your Bibles open, as I said earlier during the commentary. Take notes. You have a lot to learn. Pass our program back to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Father, Elder Mr. Tibbs. We'll catch you on the bottom part, but in lessons like what we're dealing with right now, these are tough lessons right here. This 1 and 7 day and going into the 8th day, this is real, but we do it every year on the same thing every year. But one thing about it gets tough and tougher because one thing about it, it just is information that have to be laid out exactly how you receive this information. Exactly, and we got to walk every step by step up because we need to know exactly without microwave oven anything. Although this is the 7th day of the feast day, remember the 1st day of the feast and the 7th day of the feast, you're supposed to have a righteous gathering. That's the day that you wear your white garments on the 1st and the 7th day. And this is talking about Yahuwah's tabernacle. So what we're going to do, we're just going to find Brother Yahdai Israel, and we're going to get something going on, and we're going to try to lay out some vital information that it just, we can tell you in advance, it just never been put together at such a magnitude, although we put it together every year on the same thing, but the world have not caught on to it exactly how important it is to deal with what's on the table right now. This is serious business, and you're going to hear it unfold itself in the night broadcast of the 7th day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is plainly says the Feast of Yahuwah. It got a great message to this feast. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our time and get what we can get in on the broadcast. Then what we don't get on the broadcast, the class already will know about it. So the network only can hear so much, but those that are in the 6 anointed camps have a more clear understanding because they have hands-on. And that's, you can study driving the truck all you want, but you still got to put hands-on before you pass the test. Same thing we're trying to take it. So what we're going to do, we're going to find Brother Yahdai Israel. All camps, all locations is open. All 6 locations, the gates is open to all 6 locations. And this will be the 7th day of the Feast of Yahuwah. The Feast of Yahuwah. Very important, and you'll see it as it unfolds itself the way he wants to be. So we're going to find Brother Yahdai Israel, so when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Yahdai Israel, Yahuwah be to their seed royal.
Yahuwah bless you, seed Israel, of seed royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that Brother Yahdai Israel. But this lesson, we're going to kind of up the ante on this one right here because this going to tell a story on exactly, and we'll get what we can get in, but we need all the help we need. Come out of Luke chapter 12, verse 12.
Book of Luke chapter 12. Verse number 12 reads, But the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach us what we ought to say. And that's just the way it is, see, right here. But it's so much information that leads up to the eat them up, the drink them up. So let's open up Brother Yahdai Israel in the 16th chapter of the book of Jubilees and look at verse 27. We open up in the 16th chapter and verse 27. Let's see what it says here in 16 verse 27.
The book of Jubilee, chapter 16, verse 27 reads, Jubilee 16, verse 27. And he blessed and rejoiced because the name of this feast, the feast of Yahuwah, a joy acceptable to the Most High Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. So it was a feast called back in Abraham's days, and Abraham was born around about 2000 B.C. So the Almighty told him something in the 12th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. What are you telling him in Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3? Let's see what he says there, Brother Yahdai Israel. We're going to take it away, Yahuwah, and those on the network are here. But we'll continue in the class because there's going to be a lot of information got to be laid out to make sure we're on point and some dust says Yahuwah. What it says in 12th chapter 1 through 5, make it 1 through 5. We're in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 down to verse 5. What it say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Look at Genesis 12, verse number 1 through 5 reads. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. And Yahuwah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's family, into a land that I will show you. Verse number 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Verse number 3, and I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curses you, and that you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse number 4, so Abraham departed as Yahuwah had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Verse number 5. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the people that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came.
And when he got to the land of Canaan, Brother Yahdai Israel, let's see what he did once he got to the land of Canaan in that 12th chapter. What did he do in verse number 7? So he got to the land of Canaan, and what happened there in verse 7?
Genesis 12, verse 7. Yahuwah appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land. There build ye an altar unto Yahuwah. Who appeared unto him.
He said, my picture, you, Abraham, now build an altar to the four-letter man. Build an altar to the four-letter man. I appeared unto you, Abraham, to now build an altar to the four-letter man, YHWH. That's what I want you to do. Build me an altar. Now, go to 13, verse 4, and let's see what he says.
Genesis
13, verse 4.
Look at Genesis 13, verse 4. Unto the place of the earth which he had made there at the first, that Abraham called on the name of Yahuwah.
So that's the game changer right there. Everything we must do, we must make sure we call on the name and make sure Yahuwah is up front first. That's the key. So Abraham understood that. Making sure everything up front first. Key to it is to make sure you got your Yahuwah right. That's the game changer right there. Now it's like the Jubilees. So now we're seeing Abraham being obedient, and that's like the Jubilees chapter 16, and we'll pick it up at, we'll pick it around by verse number 16. 16, 16. because I want to bring in something, but I'm going to leave it right there. But it'll come back up later if we take notes on it. It will come back. And read the way you see it, I want a word to be out there in the lesson to come back with that, to come back with the tie-in of something later on. So it's a word in there that you're going to see. Just read the way you see it, but it can come back in this lesson later. Pick up verse 16. Jubilee 16.
Book of Jubilee 16. Verse 16 reads, "We returned in the 7th month and found Sarah, whose child before us, and we blessed him, and we announced to him all the things which had been decreed concerning him, that he should not die, should get 7 sons more, and should see them before he died, but that in Isaac should his name and seed be called." Verse 17, "And that all the seed of his son should be Gentile, and be reckoned with the Gentiles, but from the sons of Isaac, one should become a righteous seed, should not be reckoned among the Gentiles." Verse number 18, "We should become a portion of the Most High, and all his seed had fallen into the possession of Yahuwah, that it should be unto Yahuwah a people for his possession above all nations, that it should become a kingdom and priests and a righteous nation." Verse number 19, "We went our way, and we announced to Sarah all that we had told him. They both rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Verse 20, "He built there an altar to Yahuwah, who had delivered him, who was making him rejoice in the land of his sojourn. And he celebrated a feast of joy in this month, 7 days, near the altar which he had built at the well of the oak." Verse 21, "He built booths for himself and for his servants on this feast. And he was the first to celebrate the feast of tabernacle on the earth." Verse 22, "During these 7 days, he brought each day to the altar a burnt offering to Yahuwah, 2 oxen, 2 rams, 7 sheep, 1 he-goat, for a sin offering, that he might atone thereby for himself and for his seed." Verse 23, "And as a thanks offering, 7 rams, 7 kids, 7 sheep, 7 he-goats, and their fruit offering and their drink offering, and he burnt all the fat thereof on the altar, a chosen offering unto Yahuwah for a sweet smell and savor." Verse 24, "And morning and evening he burnt frequent sustenance, frankincense and gabon, static and nard, myrrh and spice, custom. All these 7 he offered, crushed, mixed together in equal parts, and pure." Verse 25, "He celebrated this feast during 7 days, rejoicing with all his might, with all his soul, life, he and all those who were in his house, family. There was no stranger with him, nor any that was uncircumcised." Verse 26, "He blessed his creator who had created him in this generation, for he had created him according to his good pleasure. For he knew and perceived that from him would arise the plan of righteousness for the eternal generation, from his righteous seed, so that it should become like him who had made all things." Verse 27.
Good, right there. That's good enough. That's good enough. Excellent, Brother Yahdai Israel. So we find out right now that he was doing some great business with Abraham, and Abraham, Sarah was 7 months, and he threw a whole lot of sevens in there. He threw a whole lot of sevens. And that's a game changer. He threw a whole lot of sevens in there. According to the word seven, that is a sign of completion. So the word seven is a sign of completion, see right here. That means a completion. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to find out a little bit more about, because the seven, it is a sign of completion. And that's one of the greatest mystery it is, that it is a sign of completion. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to take a look at some things and lay a little foundation down. We're going to lay a little foundation down there, Brother Yahdai Israel, on that sign of completion, because it means more than what we can read. It means a little bit more than what we can read. Matter of fact, now back up to Adam and Eve, book of Adam and Eve. We might be going to the book of Adam and Eve, but before we read Adam and Eve, chapter 4 there, Brother Yahgai Israel, Brother T, give me that book and called Nicodemus, chapter 14, 1 through 9. Now we're going to see exactly what happened and what we're heading into by going to Nicodemus chapter 14, 1 down to verse 9. Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9. Brother Yahdai Israel, tell me the book of Adam and Eve, first book of Adam and Eve, we'll pick up at verse 4, and we're gonna learn something on the way of learning something. Let's see what he says here in Nicodemus 14, 1 through 9. Come on.
The Gospel of the Covenant, the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14. Verses 1 through 9. Adam caused himself to relate what he had heard from Michael, the arch-minister of spirits, when he sent him to paradise to entreat Yahuwah to anoint his head and in his sickness. But when the first man, our father Adam, heard these things, that Yahuwah the Son was baptized in Jordan, he called out to his son Seth and said, verse 2, declare to your son, the patriarch, and see it, all those things which you did hear from Michael, the arch-minister in spirit, when I sent you to the gates of paradise to entreat Yahuwah that he would anoint my head when I was sick. Verse 3, then Seth coming near to the patriarch, and see it, said, I said, when I was friends to Yahuwah at the gates of paradise, behold, the minister in spirit of Yahuwah, Michael appeared unto me, saying, I am sent to you from Yahuwah. I am appointed to preside over human bodies. Verse 4, I tell you, Seth, do not pray to Yahuwah in tears and entreat them for the olive oil of tree of mercy.
Don't let form of that. Back up. What did Michael say he was what now? Back up again. Call that verse out again.
The Gospel of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse 3. Then Seth coming near to the patriarch and see it, and said, I said, when I was praying to Yahuwah at the gates of paradise, behold, the arch-ministering spirit, the ministering spirit of Yahuwah, Michael, appeared unto me, saying, I am sent unto you from Yahuwah. I am appointed to preside over human bodies.
Okay, good. Hold that point right there. Brother Yahuwah Israel, that's not the 12th chapter of Daniel's on that. Now, see, sometimes you be heading one way, then all of a sudden you have to be obedient. Start in the book of Daniel. And let's find out what he was appointed to be over mankind. So now we need to find out exactly what is he saying. But how you going to find what he's saying by precepting the Bible? We're going to precept the Bible and see what he's saying. He was appointed. Now what did he say again? He was appointed for what again now?
Nicodemus, the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse 3.
Yes.
Then said, coming near to patriarch.
Yes.
And seer.
Yes.
Said, I said, when I was praying to Yahuwah at the gate of paradise.
Right.
Behold, the arch-minister and spirit of Yahuwah, Michael, appeared unto me, saying, I am sent unto you from Yahuwah. I am appointed to preside over human bodies.
So he said, I've been appointed to preside over human bodies. Now let's run to the 12th chapter, Brother Yahdai Israel. Can we take a glance at what is he saying and see how we tie this in? So now since he came before Michael, let's see what Michael got to say in 1 down to verse number 3. 12th chapter of Daniel, Brother Yahdai Israel. Look at 12, 1, 2, and 3. What is he saying? 12, 1, 2, and 3.
The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse number 1, 2, verse number 3 reads, book of Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, great prince, which standeth for the family of your people. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even at the same time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone that should be found written in the book, verse number 2. And of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, themselves to shame, everlasting contempt. Verse 3, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness, the Torah instruction, as the star forever and ever.
Read verse 2 again, Brother Yahya Israel. Now you own something, and you own something out of Daniel 12, verse 2. You own something. What did he say in Daniel 9, Daniel verse 12, 2?
The book of Daniel 12, verse number 2 reads, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame, everlasting contempt.
Mm-hmm. But I need a little bit more. I need a little bit more out of that, Brother Yahdai Israel. I need a little bit more. What do it say is, in that verse 1 there? Back up to 1 there. I need a little bit more. We got to make sure this is plain. So we're going to do as much as we can on the network. But it needs to be known plainly. Now, Michael said he came to, what did he say again, Brother Israel? What did Michael come to do?
All right, Nicodemus. Book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse 3.
Uh-huh.
Then said coming near to Pentecost and seeing, saying, I said, when I was praying to Yahuwah at the gates of paradise, behold, the arch-ministering spirit of Yahuwah, Michael appeared to me, saying, I am sent unto you from Yahuwah. I am appointed to preside over human bodies.
Mm-hmm. Now come back to 12:1 there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see what he's saying in 12 verse 1 again. Now Seth is Adam's boy. He's the one that replaced his second-born son. He had Cain and Abel, and Seth is the one that replaced him after his brother killed him. So this is the one talking. So he came to Michael. Then Michael told him exactly what he owned. Now we read out of the regular book in 12 verse 1. What did he say in 12 verse 1? And A.B. or Phoebe have me the 16th chapter of St. John verse 33 waiting on me.
The book of Daniel 12.
12 verse 1.
Verse number 1.
12 1.
And at that time to Michael, stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the family, children of your people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book.
So you see, so he said now when Michael stand up, it's going to be a time that never was before. He said, your people is going to be in trouble. They will be in trouble. So Michael is going to come when the children are at their highest point in trouble. He said, and the trouble they're going to be in is not a time that a trouble has ever. So all the things that once was on you, ain't nothing going to be worse than this trouble. That's what he's saying. But he said he only going to deliver the ones that's written in the book. Now look what he said there. Look what he just said. Although it's going to be trouble, but the only one he going to deliver is the ones that's written in the book. Y'all see that? So you see what he's saying? The only one going to be delivered is the ones that's written in the book. It's going to be, whatever you think was worse in history, he said ain't going to be nothing compared to. He said, but when Michael stand up, he only going to deliver his peoples that are written in the book. So if you're not written in the book, Michael's going to overlook you. So you see, if you're not written in the book, Michael's going to overlook you. Is that what we're reading?
Yes, sir.
That big talk right there. So it's very important to understand something. If you're going to be tied out, make sure you're tied out with full understanding that right there. This is what you don't want to be caught up in, knowing that you are Israel. But if you're not written in the book, you will not be delivered. Is that what we're reading?
Yes, Yes, sir.
That's a conversation, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
What it says in 1633 there, A.B. or P., what it says in 1633 of St. John?
John, chapter 16, verse 33.
Yeah, what it say?
These things have I spoken unto you,
uh-huh.
that in me you might have peace.
Uh-huh.
In the world you shall have tribulation.
He said, in the world you're going to have what?
Tribulation.
He said, you're going to have it. Go ahead.
But. Be of good cheer.
But be a what?
Good cheer.
Be a good cheer.
I have overcome.
He said, I did it. He said, I did it. So you're going to be on the clock to do exactly what I did to get to where you got to get to. So understand one thing, that you will not be in a cakewalk to get to where you got to get to. And that's why on feast days and Sabbath days, we have to inform you, according to what's written, what to look for. It ain't no cakewalk. It's a mother dear of Israel. Look what it says in 4:17-19, the First Peter. Look what it says. Look what he says in First Peter chapter 4:17-19. Look what he says here. So if we're looking for a way where we're going to be Teflon, this is not the answer. And anybody tell you it'll be a Teflon situation, it's not going to be. Now, if you tie in last night's lesson, what we're trying to bring you, you understand what we're saying. And that's why we said in the 13th chapter, verse 18, what we said that Brother Yahdai Israel in the book of Eber, chapter 13, verse 18. What was said that we need to know?
The book of Eber, chapter 13, verse number 18 reads, pray for us, for we trust we have a good country in all things, willing to live honestly.
Mm-hmm. You say the best thing you do is pray for us, the 6 and 9 account, because Yahweh has blessed us to be able to show you soundly, step by step, what's going to happen for you. Ain't got to worry about that one I say. We can paint the picture from the word of Yahweh. So, and that's why our time is very short on Proverbs 18-21, Brother Yahdai Israel. Look what it says in 18, verse 21 of Proverbs.
Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21 reads. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. Depth and light are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
See, depth and light is in the power of the tongue. If you got to hang around any brother or sister and all they got is a negative backbiting, murmuring, complaining, that is depth. You have to position yourself out of the war's meat spirit. Whenever the phone ring and they on the other end, they always talk about something negativity. They have nothing positive to say. So depth in life is in the power of the tongue. You can persuade many to follow your backbiting, murmuring, complaining ways. But it's a penalty of it that we read in last night's lesson, that Yahweh said, you're going to pay it. You're going to pay it. But that's in last night's lesson when you tie that in. So you remember one thing. When you speak out the tongue, if you're not trying to pray for the 6 anointed counts, then it's best, according to Yahweh in last night's lesson, is to hold your tongue. Because it's a big price to continue to always have a murmuring, backbiting, complaining, because your time going to run out. Because Michael only going to deliver the one that's written in the book. And you're not written in the book if you're a backbiter, murmur, or complainer. You're not in this book. And you take last night's lesson, put it with this one, you will see soundly that your time going to run out if you got that kind of spirit on you where you're murmuring. You're complaining. You got a backbiting spirit. And you do all your talking from the window
or why we hear more mouth and no body. But he makes it plain, Brother Yahdai Israel, when he's talking to the Romans of Northern Kingdom in 12:1, what did he say? 12:1, what did he say in Romans 12:1?
The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse number 1 reads, book of Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your body a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service.
He said, I'm begging you to understand one thing. Put your body on the line, not the mouth. And what we do, we put the mouth on the line and no body. All we hear is a voice in the wind, but no body. So Yahweh saying, listen, the greatest sacrifice you can do is put your body on the line. Anybody can tear down something, but who can build it up? That's why we said pray for the six anointed camps, because we swinging to build you up, but you can understand exactly what this man's saying, and that's why it's so important about the Sabbath day, fringes wearing, and these feast days, because we build you up to be able to be a musician for you and be caught up by making a move that the Bible don't support. So keep that in your mind. Come on back, Brother T. Israel, with Nicodemus. Now, listen to it. Now, we found out that Michael is saying, I'm only what he just said. When I was appointed to come down when the trouble going to be at its hottest. But I'm only going to deliver the ones that written in the book. And Mother D.F. Israel in the book of Hebrew, Plutarch called Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says what? He said, I'm only going to deliver the ones that are written in the book. So he going to know, although y'all all going to look like each other in colors, but he going to have the book to read. If you in that time, you ain't going to make it. If you in this time, you is going to make it. Michael going to have a record on, and if you got the spirit of a backbiting, murmuring, complainer, nothing come out your tongue, but always and never saying, I'm calling to pray for the six anointed camps to do the best they can, and I'm going to put my body as a living sacrifice, not my mouth on the telephone with a backbiting, murmuring, and complaining spirit, because that is going to get me thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire, according to this lesson to come. What it says in Malachi, read verse 1:14, let's make it warm. Get warmed up, Mother D.F. Israel. Read the book of Hebrew, 1, verse 14. Then go to 2, 1 and 2. We're going to try to tie this thing in, and if the broadcast be cut short, because one thing about it, the broadcast only covers so much. That's why it's always best to be hands-on, making your body a living sacrifice. But you can understand not how quick you can turn the internet on and hear something. Because he's going to take it away from you anyway.
Hebrews, polluted for evil, chapter 1, verse 14.
What does it say, 1:14?
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Oh. So the mental spirit, and that's what Michael is, right? Michael, mental spirit?
Yes.
So he sent for what reason he going to be sent?
To them who shall be heirs of salvation.
Oh. So it's a price you got to pay. Now go to 2:1 and 2. So it's a price you got to pay. So when Michael's going to look down, he's going to say, okay, I'm coming down to for the ones that have his heir for salvation. Not because you Israel, because, what it says, Brother Yahdai is real quick, what it says in the book of Matthew.
Yes.
What it says in the book of Matthew is Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's see what it says in the book of Matthew. See, we got to be plain that we understand that as long as you hear this word, you got a chance to make adjustment. But he's making it plain, Brother Yahdai Israel, in chapter 1. Look what he's saying in chapter 1, and those in the class, put them phones on silence, and so we can get through with this red. What is he saying in the third chapter, Brother Yahdai Israel? What is he saying? We get right down to it in verse 9.
Book of Matthew 3.
Now read verse 9. 3, verse 8 and 9. Let's see what was told to the southern kingdom Israelites in John's days, which is the cousin of Yahuwah the Son, born 6 months before he was, but really he came after Yahuwah the Son. What he said in 3, verse 8 and verse 9. What he said, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse number 8, verse number 9 reads. Matthew 3, verse number 8. Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance. Verse number 9. Think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. But I say unto you, that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up children, family, unto Abraham.
So even you know, bring forth meat for repentance, Israel. You can't keep mopping this thing off, because if you keep mopping the thing off, you're going to lose. We tell you in advance, make your body a living sacrifice. Make your body, not the mouth. Oh, I got a complaint about this. I don't understand this. What that means? Because you're not making your body a living sacrifice. You always have rumbling in the brain until you do what the Bible says. What does it say, Mother or D of Israel? What does it say in 2, 1 and 2?
Hebrews, Luke for Eber, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Yes?
And it reads.
What it reads?
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed.
He said we ought to look at more what this Bible says, yes, than what our feelings are saying. Give a honest heed. He said, look at the thing a little bit closer now. Go ahead.
To the things which we have heard.
Yes, things that you have heard, he said, look at it a little bit more closer. Go ahead.
That's at any time we should let them slip.
See, you can mess around and let it slip. If you think because you know that you Israel now and you think you can come up the way you want to come up, you have let things slip from you. Because that ain't what the man telling you. He made it plain, Brother Yahdai Israel, in 111, verse number 10. What he says in 111, verse 10 of the book of Psalms. He made a profound statement. What he say? 111, verse 10, Brother Yahdai Israel, what he say?
Book of Psalms 111, verse 10 reads, fear Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. Good understanding have of they that do his Torah instructions, praise and do it forever.
He said, the fear of Yahuwah, and that is the wisdom part, but you've got to make sure you're doing the Torah instructions. So when Micah shows up, remember, he's been appointed to bring the ones in, but that is what's going to be over them that he's going to want to see it. See, you're not going to be, because he's not going to look at you based on your appearance. No. We can go to 11th chapter of Isaiah to read that, but we're not going to do it. He's not going to judge you by the side of your eyes. He's going to see some over you saying Torah keeper or non-Torah keeper. And Michael is to pass over you if you are not a Torah keeper. What's that?
For if the word spoken by the ministering spirit was steadfast and every sin and disobedience received a just recompense of reward.
So, is it a reward on those that keep the Torah instruction? Michael going to have the list of who is what. If you ain't made your body a living sacrifice, not. Anybody can write back on telephone and backbite somebody. But he tell you now, your backbiting got to stop. And last night, I said, you know, I will kill the backbiter. And then I also said, ABLP. On the other hand, in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 17, I also said something else. They got to do the lesson according to the way they give it to you. But he also says something else in Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 and 17. And this comes from our books, Torah, what he says in 17, 1 and 5.
Chapter 5, verse 1 and 17.
It was say.
Verse 1. And if a soul, a body, a person, sins, and hears the voice of swearing.
So if you hear a lot of swearing in your ear, now you entertain somebody, a backbiter, murmur, or complaint. Your phone ringing on the other end. Nobody cares and fixing on the camera. Well, I'm sending my prayers up because we know who's doing the work of fixing on the camera. I just want to encourage y'all to keep on doing what you're doing. But if you, if the phone call ring and all you on the end is backbiting, murmuring, and complaining about what you don't understand. Brett?
And is a witness.
And you witness that by being on the other end of the ear conversation, right?
Whether he or she has seen or honored it,
right.
If he or she do not honor it, then he or she shall bear his or her.
That means you're going to be just as guilty as the one on the other end that you calling you about saying, I don't understand this. He's going to tell you how you understand something and you didn't make your body a living sacrifice. You're not going to understand. If your body is not a living sacrifice, you will never understand the, what Yahweh got written in his Bible. You always ask questions because you come up another way. The first thing you got to do is make your body a living sacrifice, not the sacrifice of the tongue and cheek. Verse 17.
And if a soul, a person, sins, any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the Torah instruction of Yahweh,
right.
Though he or she is it not, yet he or she is guilty and shall bear his or her iniquity.
No, you didn't go in and put the gun at the bank teller to get the money. But you was in the car as a passenger. You wasn't even a driver. But when he came down with the bag of money, he jumped in the car and pulled off. You were sitting in the car. So you going to pay the price as the one that pulled the gun out and robbed the bank. The driver going to get the time. The passenger going to get, they call it conspiracy. They got a law called the conspiracy law they created for themselves. So now, you part of it. You received a phone call. The phone call was not an encouragement about I'm sending up prayers for the six anointed accounts to do the best they can because they're on point. No, I'm sending prayer. I'm telling them about this ain't right. I don't believe that. It's not the point what you don't believe. You know, if your body is not a living sacrifice, you will never understand what you listen to, period. He made it plain to you. So that's what we got to understand. But he's part of that conversation. On the other end, we give that one that's on the other end doing the backbiting, tail bearing, and murmuring. And last night, let me tie into that. So that's it. So now, go back to the Israel. Now listen to what's going on now. Remember, Nicodemus was cleaned up the tail story. In the third chapter of St. John, we're not going to read. Yahweh said, you are ruling in Israel and you don't know these things? So he's talking to school. He got to prepare. And that's what we come on his network to do. Make sure all six anointed accounts understand the importance of what you're doing. If you're going to tie yourself out, make sure you tie yourself off in Yahweh. And in his lesson, you will hear what you're saying on the network and more in class. But, come on, Brother T. Israel.
In the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, I'm at verse 4.
What?
I tell you that Now pray to Yahweh in tears and entreat him for the oil of the tree of mercy, wherewith to anoint your father Adam for his headache.
Yep.
Verse 5, because you can not by any means obtain it to the last days and times, namely, until 505, the 5,500 years ye pass. Verse 6. Yeah, well, y'all bought it.
Now, wait a minute. Nicodemus writing that, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, back up now. Now, back up in the book of Adam and Eve. Now, he's saying how many days he said was that Brother G is real. What is it again? And who's he talking to, Brother G is real? Who's he talking to? What's going on in that conversation?
Okay. He's speaking to Adam. Mm-hmm.
He's speaking to Adam. Who's he talking to?
Okay, check. Okay, verse 4.
Uh-huh.
I tell you that when I pray to Yahweh in tears, and entreat him for the oil of the tree of mercy, wherewith to anoint your father Adam for his headache.
So he's talking to who?
Seth.
Yeah, that's what he's talking to.
Seth.
That's what he's telling him something.
Yeah.
It's a 5,500 year stretch, right?
Yeah.
Brother Yahweh Israel, back up to Adam and Eve chapter 3, verse 1. Let me tell you about this information once it's tied in. Once it's tied in, on the family, Brother Israel, hold it. Remember, keep what you get, because we're coming back to the end of that book all into Brother Yahweh Israel, Adam and Eve 3, pick up verse 1.
The first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 3, verse number 1 reads, Yahweh said to Adam, I have ordained on this earth days and years. You and your seed shall dwell and walk in it till the days and years are fulfilled. And I shall send the word that created you, and against which thou hast transgressed, the word that made thee come out of the garden that raised thee, for thou wast false. Verse number 2. Yea, the word that will again save you when the 5 days and a half are fulfilled.
Oh, that's one. So what I'm saying to you? I'm saying to you. In verse 2, can anybody help me in class? I not more D.F. Israel. Go to the 12th chapter, verse 48 of St. John. See, what's going to save you is you knowing the word. Look what he says in 12:48 of St. John. Yeah, what it says in 12:48.
He that reject me and receiveth not my word, as one that judges him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
So you see, the word is what you got to make sure you understand. The word. You got to understand the word. Amen. Look what it says in the 6th chapter of St. John about this word. Mother GF, give me 40 verse 8 of Isaiah and get it out the way for me. 40 verse 8 first, and I'll meet you in St. John chapter 6. See, what's going to judge you is the word. So if you don't have this right, I don't care what you accumulate in the word in the world, 40 verse 8 Isaiah says what?
Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8.
What it say?
The grass withers.
Right.
The flower fades.
Right.
But the word of Yahweh shall stand forever.
The word is going to stand. We're telling you exactly what's going to cause your going to the kingdom and will get you out of the kingdom is this word. Now, Peter was on the spot. And Yahweh looked at that question. A, B, or Peter? And said, he asked him a question. And let's see how he responds to it.
Chapter 6, verse 66 through 68.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 66.
What?
From that time, many of his disciples went back.
Right.
Walked no more with him.
Right.
Verse 67. Then said Yahweh the Son unto the
12,
what did he say?
Will you also go away?
He did say, now, the 12, will you also go away in the 12?
Yes.
What?
Then Simon Peter answered him, Yahweh.
What?
To whom shall we
go? He said, see, where can we go? Where can we go? Go ahead.
You have the words of eternal life.
Ain't that something? He got the words what? And that's what we read right now.
Yes.
So that's what we read right now when you connect your book. Come on back, Brother Yahdai Israel. So he tell you right now in the book of Adam Eve, chapter 3. Now this is like, this is in the beginning. But we're going to learn something on the way of learning something. We're in the book of Adam and Eve, and now we find out that he said you only going to be saved through this word. We're in third chapter, right, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Yes.
In third chapter.
Yes,
and now we're going to find out, keep reading. What will that pop on, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Verse number 3. When Adam heard these words of Yahweh, and of the great 5 days and a half, he did not understand the meaning of them. Verse number 4.
All right. Go ahead.
For Adam was thinking that there would be but 5 days and a half for him to the end of the world. Verse 5.
Okay, what Adam did? What he do, and in the book, help me out. What he do in the book, of Proverbs? He done something in Proverbs. What did he do? He done something in Proverbs. What he just got you doing? And this is what we keep doing. We keep doing the same thing. What did he do in Proverbs? Three, verse 5. What did he do? Read verse 1 to get warmed up. No, 1, 2, and 5. What happened to Israel? Proverbs 3, 1, 2, and 5. What did Adam just got through doing?
The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse 5.
What did it say?
My son,
yeah,
get not my Torah instruction, first
right,
5 books, but let your mind keep my Torah instruction.
Right. If I do what I got coming, two,
for length of days.
Oh, if I keep Torah instruction, what I got coming?
The length of days.
And what else?
And long life.
Oh, I got long life.
And peace.
I got what coming?
Peace.
Uh-huh.
Should I add it to you?
You mean I got all this coming?
Yeah.
You see, the man tell me if you keep the Torah instruction, you won't have a rambling mind,
yeah,
a backbiting, murmuring, complaining. You won't have that spirit. He said if you keep Torah instruction, you got the length of days.
Yeah.
You got life.
Hallelujah.
And what's the third word you got coming?
Peace.
You see what the man is saying? It's all about keeping the Torah instruction.
Yeah.
He'll put that kind of spirit on you.
Ooh, yeah.
You won't be making phone calls or always got a backbiting, murmuring, complaining spirit. If you make your body a living sacrifice. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, you have what in verse 2?
Length of days.
Length of days.
Long life.
Long life.
And peace.
What?
Peace.
Peace.
That's right.
Go ahead. What? Peace should be what?
Should they add it to you?
Is that what the man told Solomon to write?
Yes, sir.
But he tell you what you don't do in verse 5 then.
Verse 5.
What?
Trust in Yahweh.
That's all you got to do?
Yes.
Go ahead.
With all your mind.
All your mind.
And lead not to your own understanding.
You see what the man is telling you. You see what the man tell you. The man tell you if you want the peace, first thing you got to do is make sure you keep it, making your body a living sacrifice. And you keep the first 5 books. Then he said he'll kick in. If you don't have these attributes, he ain't going to kick in. You always going to have an inquiring mind. I don't understand what you said there. I can't understand that neither. See? He's telling you why you're not going to never understand, because first of all, you got to make your body a living sacrifice. Is that what the man said?
Yes, sir.
See? Let's go back, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's go back some more in the book of Adam and Eve. You mean all that's in there? Yeah. See,
See, the world can't tie this in because it's not given to them. So the best thing you do for the sixth anointing camp is pray for us. But we can continue to show you what this man is saying to help you in your family to come.
Yes.
Pray for us. Don't backbite because you won't lose.
Oh, yeah. That's
see, you're going to lose if you start to keep backbiting. The man going to kill you.
Yes.
Instead of making your body a living sacrifice and see what you can get in and fit in it.
Yes.
And don't lean on your own understanding because you understand. You're not going to understand until your body is made a living sacrifice. And think of the wood in you in 3 verse 2 again.
I'll put the length of days.
Length of days.
Long life.
Long life.
And peace.
And what?
And peace.
Peace. To be what?
Added to you.
Now, who don't want that?
That's right.
But you can't get that unless you're doing this. You see that? You ain't going to get that unless you're doing what the man's saying. Oh, my goodness.
Yahuwah.
Hallelujah. All right. Now, come on back there, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Let's see. Now, we're in the book of Adam and Eve in the third chapter.
Woo.
Now, let's see what else he's saying in third chapter. What are you left off on?
First book of Adam and Eve 3, verse number 5.
Five.
Adam wept and prayed Yahuwah to explain it to him. Verse number 6. Yahuwah in his mercy
said, hold on, Brother Yahuwah Israel. He asked Yahuwah to explain, and that's what we do.
Yes.
When you don't know something, ask us to explain it to
Hallelujah.
You. We will explain to you what he's saying. You don't leave on your own stand, or you'll be wrong.
Right.
You both have the same spirit Adam got. Look, Yahuwah, I'm here now for 5.5 days. I don't understand. Explain to me what is you talking about.
Yeah.
And that's how you pose that. And when you don't get anointed, when you don't, when you're confused about something,
yes.
Have the right spirit and watch us give you the answer according to the Bible. What happened next?
Verse number 6. Yahuwah in his mercy for Adam, who was made after his own image, as similitude, explained to him that
right.
These were 5,500 years. Now one would then come to save him and his seed.
Mm-hmm. So he says, Adam, somebody that's coming that gonna be made in a similitude of you.
Yes.
Otherwise, the one that's gonna come, but how was Adam made that gonna do this saving? Well, how was he made that, hold that point, Brother T. Israel, get in 2 verse 7. Backed up Brother Yahuwah Israel in 14 verse 2 of Jeremiah. So now who's going to come and do what? See, now we got to find out what in here that needs to be brought out. He said, now one, read that again, Brother Yahuwah Israel. Read that verse again. Verse number 6. Read 6 again.
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 3, verse number 6. Yahuwah in his mercy for Adam. Who was made after his own image and similitude, explained to him that these were 5,500 years. Now one would then come to save him and his seed.
So one would come to save him and his seed. You mean that's written in the Bible? Now what we got to do is find out exactly, and at that time, what are you talking about, but we only could do it through the precepts. So now what are we getting ready to read?
This is chapter 2, verse 7.
2, verse 7.
Genesis
2, 7. And Brother Yahuwah going to have 14, verse 2. And A.B. and Peter going to have Micah, chapter 5. And Mother D.F. Israel going to have Matthew, chapter 2. We're going to find out exactly what's going on. See, all that is in this. So the last thing you supposed to do that a ministry can go in and paint the picture is have any ill words that come out your mouth. You supposed to say, I was in a prayer for that ministry. That ministry is teaching this book and it's making it plain. So I'm going to make my body a living sacrifice, not my mouth as a backbiter, murmur, and a complainer.
because I'm going to lose. Let's see what's going on here.
Genesis, the book of Genesis of the heavenly chapters, first five books, Torah instructions. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
What's it say?
And Yahuwah formed man out of the dust of the ground.
Yahuwah formed man out of the dust of the ground.
And breathed into his nostrils.
What?
The breath of life.
Yes.
And man became a living soul.
And man became a soul. So man and soul is interchangeable. Man is the soul. He ain't put no soul in here. Man is the soul.
Amen.
Good. So soul and man is interchangeable. Now, mm-hmm. He went out of the ground, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to fast forward to Jeremiah, Brother Yahweh Israel, 14, verse 2. So what man going to be doing the saving? We're going to find out on the way to find out something.
Look at Jeremiah 14, verse 2 reads, Yahweh Judah mourns, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground.
Uh-huh. So you go outside. Anytime you get ready, and put your hand in that dirt out there. So whatever color that is, that's the man he's talking about. So the first man looked dead like outside up under your grass. That's what first man looked like. So Mr. White Man, Mr. Red Man could not have been nowhere around. And I can prove that by going outside and looking at my grass and looking up under that grass and whatever color that is. And the more I dig up under my grass, it's going to get darker, darker, and darker. Clear up that the first man that was made was that he made Adam. And we just find out that Adam going to be a similitude of the one that's talking to him with all the power. Is that what we just got through?
Yes, sir.
So you see what we read.
Yes.
You know, here it is. The Bible makes it plain.
Yes.
So we keep bringing all these balls in our head because we've been taught wrong.
Yes.
He let you know that Yahweh is saying that the similitude of this man that will come back, he'll be looking, and we know he's talking to Adam.
Yes.
You see? So now we got a picture of what's going on here. Shoot.
Hallelujah.
Now,
pray for me.
Okay, now, so far we found out that, now what we read, what we haven't read yet?
Micah chapter 5.
Yeah, Micah chapter 5. Yeah, 5:1. Pick it up as 5:1. Then we're going to find what he's going to do. Take it on down to verse 3. Yeah, Micah 5, what he told the seer that he was going to do.
Micah chapter 5, verse 1 to 3.
Yep.
Now, verse 1. Now, gather yourself in truth, O daughter of truth.
Mm-hmm.
He has laid siege against you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. But you, Bethlehem,
mm-hmm. Ephatah. Ephatah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Though you be little among a thousand of Jews,
Though you be little, a thousand among Yahweh Jews, what can we say?
Out of you shall he come.
He come out of
who?
You Judah.
Yes.
So when he take on the form of man,
yes.
He picked a body that looked like him, he come up out of Judah. And we know Judah is back to the ground, right?
Right.
So now we know it's clear if he's taking on the body, how he gonna be white to the to the drywall, and he said he come out black from the ground.
Ooh.
So how he gonna be white to the drywall?
So
you know,
yeah.
It ain't gonna add up when you put some book to what you hear.
Yeah.
So all them pictures on the wall, you got all these churches, it don't add up.
Yeah.
With the Bible open. He tell you exactly I'm coming up out of Judah black to the ground. So how you come out of Judah black to the ground, and you got him looking like drywall? It don't add up, y'all. We got to teach this thing. So pray for us that we continue to teach to help you to help your family. Pray for the sick and on the
camp.
Put a good word into Yahweh. Because the sixth and the tenth is bringing out what we need to know. See? That's what you're supposed to have a mouth on. Now, where we at? Come on, continue.
Get out of
Right.
Yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel.
So he gonna be ruling Israel. When he come, he gonna be ruling Israel. He and I be ruling the world. I'll go in the world, but the whole world is Israel
right.
all the time anyway.
Right.
We just don't know that it was is. And when we return and last night left, and tell you when I take you back, you're going to be Yahweh over the land that you left out of. You're not going back over there and cutting no deals. You're going to be the Yahweh of the land. And that what we read back in Baruch chapter 4. See? So all this information you got to have, you understand this thing. When you go back home, you will be Yahweh of the land. You won't be asking nobody, what can we put our tin up at?
That's right.
We ain't asking nobody nothing. We going back to be Yahweh of the land. And can you enter in if you're in the way?
Right.
According to Zechariah 14:14, we're going to whoop you.
Right.
So, we got to be clear about ourselves and our family through this Bible. That's why it's so important about these Sabbath days, these feast days. Make your body a living sacrifice to Yahweh, not your mouth. Have big ears and little mouth. And we will get you there. Same thing Adam doing. He said, Adam, he said, Yahweh, I don't understand. He said, well, let me instruct you then. I'm going to get you to understand it so you can pass on the step. Because one of your sons going to kill one of your boys, and I'm going to be quiet with them until you have another one. S-E-T-A, set. Then I'm going to kick my program back in. Okay? Now, continue reading.
Going forth have been from of old.
Yeah.
From everlasting.
I mean, going forward is way back in the day. We're going forth from old.
Yes.
From everlasting. What do you mean? He's way back here talking to Adam.
Right.
Yahweh the Son is talking to Adam. Wait a minute. Give me 5:37 now. 1637, St. John. And make sure who talking to Adam. St. John 5, brought to you Israel, 5:36-37. Who talking?
John 5:36-37.
Mm-hmm.
John 5:36-37.
Who talking?
John chapter 5:36-37.
That's right.
For I have greater witness than that of John.
Right.
For the works which the Father hath given me to finish.
Right.
The same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me.
Father hath sent me.
37.
Right.
And the Father himself which hath sent me.
Right.
Hath bore witness of me.
Right.
You have neither heard his voice at any time.
You ain't heard the Father's voice at any time.
Nor seen his shape.
But what's all this going on when we read in Genesis chapter, in Adam and Eve chapter? 3:7. See? What Yahweh is this? The one that you heard is Yahweh the Son. You see that? And you're not gonna hear the Father until we show you in the book in which you hear the Father. But right now you ain't gonna hear the Father because it is sin on the table. The reason he's talking to Adam, because it's sin on the table, Adam. See? So he got to clean up the sin on the table with Adam and his forefathers to come.
Mm-hmm.
See? So now, we're clear about that. Keep reading, A.B. Now look what he say he's going to do. What this?
Therefore, will he give them up?
See, right now, he have gave them up. Right now, he have gave them up.
Yes.
Right now, he gave you up.
Yes.
You've been given up. Go ahead.
Until the time
that
she which
travailed
have brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return.
See, he has to leave you. Then he set a program down to get you back on your feet. Then he's going to come back again and do some damage. So that's why it's so important, why class is so long. He can carry the classes as long as the information that we got to put on the table in Yahweh, you only getting half of the story by being a listener and not a present body to really understand this thing. Now, we got that part out the way. Now, so he's going to give you up. That means he's going back where he came from. Back up Mother D up Israel and see where he came from. He's going to tell you exactly where he came from. And Brother Yahweh, you can 1 through 5, and we'll find out some more about it. And tie all it in. We're just gonna wet your beak on this 7 day of feast. We're gonna wet your beak on the information that will be covered that will not be broadcast. Now, what we read? St. John chapter 6, right? Yep, St. John 6. This is what now watch what he says. And Brother Yahweh Israel gonna have me 17:1-5 waiting on me. We're going to try it all in, but we're going to the sixth chapter and take a little peek. Six, and find out what did he say. What did he say in verse 62?
John chapter 6, verse 62. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before?
And what they do when they heard that in verse 60 and 61. He said, now, what you see me going back where I came from before? And look what happened right here. And so it ain't nothing new. 60 and 61.
St. John chapter 6, verse 60 and 61. Verse 60. Many therefore of his followers, when they had heard this saying,
what?
This is a hard saying.
Because we know, Ed, it is hard for we bring to the table. This is a hard saying.
It is.
It's a hard saying because we've been taught all kind of degrees and right. We got everything. This is a hard saying.
It's a hard understanding.
But you will. But look what happened in 61. But go ahead.
Who can hear it?
Yeah, who can hear it?
When Yahweh the Son knew in himself that his followers murmured.
What did he do?
Murmured,
huh?
At this. He said to them, do this offend you?
So a murmur, he said the murmurs, they always just grumbling, a murmur, a backbiter, complainer. But he already knew whether he was verbally putting out or not. He had a kind of problem. He know when you're murmuring, complaining, backbiting, how your mind's supposed to be, and everything. Murmurs, backbiting, complainers. He said, with y'all, he said, I'm going back where I came from. See? This is a hard thing. How you going back where you came from? Didn't you come from Joseph and Mary?
That's right.
He said, by you sitting in the congregation of the dead, I'm the one back here with Adam.
Yes.
Now, you tell me what time Joseph was born. I'm way back here talking to Adam.
That's right.
You see, man? Because I'm way back here talking to Adam.
Right.
You see that? I'm just one name.
Right.
See? Mm-hmm. So all this information we have to cover, but we have to get brothers and sisters able to be prepared to go out on the highways and byways and teach themselves and the little ones the true words of Yahweh. Brother Yahweh Israel, 17:1-5 and verse 9 says what? St. John 17:1-5 and verse 9, what does it say?
Look at St. John chapter 17, verse number 1 through 5, verse number 9 reads. Look at St. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Yahweh the Son, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Honor your Son, that your Son also may honor you. Verse 2, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3, this is life eternal, they may know you, the only true Yahweh the Son whom you have sent. Verse number 4, I have honored you on the earth, and finished the work that you gave me to do. Verse 5. Now, O Yahweh the Father, honor thou me with thine own self, with the greatness which I had with you before the world was. For some are not. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are you.
He said, I don't pray for the world. But they got, we are the world, the songs and all the athletes and the singers. We are the world. Pray for the world. Pray for our president. Pray. Listen, you're doing as much. Yahweh is bringing this thing to a close. He gave Adam a timeline. And it ain't going to go further than what he's saying. His timeline is there what he gave you, and he made it plain. Brother Yahweh Israel in 104 verse 9. He gave a teaching. The Bible got a timeline. This thing is laid out. And we be looking to see who all see this thing besides the system on the cap. 104 verse 9 says what? Psalms.
The book of Psalm 104. Verse number 9 reads. Book of Psalm chapter 104. Verse number 9. Psalms 104, verse number 9 reads, Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, if they turn not again to cover the earth.
So he got a bound already set. You ain't going to go for it. You can be drinking all the aloe vera you want. You can call on wood you call on you want. He'll already set your time of coming in and leaving up out of here. And he made it plain to you, A.B.O.B.B. in St. John 7, verse 6. We're there in St. John 7, verse 6. So he already know how far you going to go. He set a bound how far you going to go. And look what he tells his brothers and those that got here in St. John 7, verse 6. What did he say? And Brother Yahdai Israel had me Job chapter 14, verse 4 and 5, waiting on me.
John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them.
What did he say to them?
My time has not yet come.
He said, my time has not yet come.
But your time is
already. But your time is already. He said, I might take you out here. I might have you hide up on your table and make the table fall don't hit you on your back. I can make the roof fall in on your bed while you sleep. Your time is always, and you ought to put your time in backbiting, murmuring, complaining, and you've got to always on your time. Your time is always. So you got to be understand that. If your time is all and you live to see another day, you supposed to make sure you got some 43 or 28 for a T as well, 42, 28, 27, or Sirach. You got to make sure you got to make sure this fit in your schedule. The 43rd chapter, verse 27, down to verse, well, keep reading until we get that point. Sirach, 43, think of verse 27. You got to make sure that you examine yourself and this bit in your program. What does it say?
Sirach the Seer, chapter 43, verse 27.
What does it say?
We may speak much.
We might speak much.
And yet come short.
And you always going to come short when you speaking much.
Wherefore in some, he is all.
Well, in some, he's all.
Yeah. 28.
What?
How should we be able to magnify him?
How can we magnify him? How can we magnify our creator? What can we do for our creator to magnify him? What is written that we can do? What do you say?
Well, he's great above all his works.
He's great above all his works. What can we really do to add on to what he got going on?
Great. Yahweh is terrible.
Yes.
And very great.
Very great.
And marvelous in his power.
Marvelous in his power. Absolute power. According to the 28th chapter, verse 18. All power is given to Yahweh the Son. Great.
When we honor Yahweh.
But when we honor Yahweh.
Exalt him.
Exalt him.
As much as you can.
As much as you can.
Even yet.
Even yet.
Will he far exceed?
What?
Even yet, will he far exceed?
Go ahead.
And when you exalt him.
What?
Put forth all your strength.
When you exalt your mighty one, put forth all your strength.
Yes.
What?
And be not weary.
And don't get weary.
Yes. For you can never go far enough.
He said, whatever you did yesterday, that's yesterday. Right. I want to hear what you're doing for me today.
Right.
So you can't even lay back on your yesterday. If you exalt Yahweh, Lord, you got breath in your body, give him all that he give you and give him more. Because you never can add nothing to him. So exalt this man as much as you can. If this man tell you to make your body a living sacrifice, then why don't you do that? Why you got your mouth as a backbiter, murmur, complainer, which is opposite of what's going on, and this man going to kill you for it? He got too much power for you to continue doing what you're doing. And that's what we're trying to break this thing down to you, how important it is to follow Yahweh the Son's rule and regulation, what you got from the Father. And we can never go far enough. We can't say, well, I got me over so many years in the... And I can sit back and jack my slack. No, you cannot. You got to every day give some more. Every day give him some more. You cannot. I can't play back on my left. It's what I give him today determines what he's going to do for me tomorrow. Now, let's, what you holding, Brother Yak? What you holding besides that Adam and Eve, Brother Yak? Anybody holding anything?
Still holding,
I know you got there. I'll come back in a minute. Come on back, Brother Yahweh. Yes, let's come on back for time's sake. Let's go on back to Adam and Eve book. So let's see what else we can get out of Adam and Eve. We read what we read. We left up on 6 or 7. Where we at now, Brother Yahweh? Yes,
first book of Adam and Eve 3, verse number 7 reads, Yahweh had before right. That made this covenant. Our father Adam, in the same time earth, he came out of the garden, and he was by the tree. Well, Eve took the fruit, gave it to him to eat. Verse number 8.
Hold that point. She gave him the fruit to eat by the tree. What did she give him, Brother T. Israel? What did she give him in 10:13 of Hosea?
Yeah.
What did he... What was given to him and the fruit he did eat? What happened in the garden was Eve came over to him and gave him a fruit and gave it him to eat, didn't it?
Yeah.
Let's find out, according to the seer, Hosea, what did she give him in 10:13 that we can read?
Hosea the seer, chapter 10, verse 13.
What does it say?
You have plowed wickedness.
Plowed wickedness.
You have reached sin.
Sin.
You have eaten the fruit of life.
Oh. What she gave Adam was what?
Fruit of life.
Fruit of life. That's what he had. She didn't bring no watermelon to him, none of that. No, y'all. She brought him some lies from Satan, the devil. And he adjusted to it. He accepted them lies. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
That's what happened. Verse 8, Brother Yahweh Israel. What verse 8 say? 3:8.
Book of Adam and Eve 3, verse 8. So much as when our father Adam came out of the garden, passed by that tree, and saw how Yahweh then changed the appearance of it to another form. I had withered.
So Yahweh changed the appearance of the tree to another form. Let's find out more about what's going on here. Come on.
Verse number 9.
Nine.
As Adam went to it in fear, fell down. Yahweh in his mercy lifted him up and then made this covenant with him. Verse 10.
Yeah.
And again, when Adam was by the gate of the garden, saw the cherub with a sword of flashing fire in his hand. The cherub grew angry and frowned at him. Both Adam and Eve became afraid of him, thought he meant to put them to death. So they fell on their faces, trembled with fear. Verse 11. He had pity on them, showed them mercy, turned from them, and turned from them, went up to heaven, prayed unto Yahuwah and see. Verse 12.
Hold that part right there. Now back off, Mother Israel, in 3:22, and let's see, do the Bible connect to the story we read now out of the book of Matthew? But you reading this out of the Bible, why you can't read out of the Bible? Well, this is the Bible. It's just your understanding is light. We're going to 3:22 down to verse 24, and see, it's in that story out of the Bible that you want to call the Bible, but it's the Bible too.
Mm-hmm.
This was called, was left out of Esau's cannon. He left himself out because this way it makes it tell the story
deliberately.
Yeah. 3:22. What did it say, Mother D.F. Israel? Or Genesis?
Genesis chapter 3, verse 22.
Down to verse 24. Let's see. Can we tie this story in to make it genuine?
Genesis chapter 3, verse 22-24. Verse 22, peace. And Yahuwah said, behold, the man is become as one of us.
Now he come as one of us.
To know good and evil.
Now he know good and evil.
And how lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life.
Now, otherwise, he cannot remain no more around the tree of life. Because now he know good, which I taught him, but now he know some evil that he heard from his wife that got him saved.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So now he's been changed. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Let's see what happened next.
And eat and live forever.
So I cannot let him live forever, not on the spirit of knowing good and evil.
Yeah.
Can't let him live like that. Can't let him live long now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Verse 23.
What?
Therefore, Yahuwah sent him forth from the garden.
So Yahuwah sent him forward from the garden.
To till the ground.
Yeah, where he was at, he was tilling the ground. Get up out of here. Get up out of the garden. Go ahead.
From whence he was taken.
And this is where you came from, Adam. You came from this right here, over here, but I'm putting you out of this. Go ahead.
24.
Right.
So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden.
What?
Cherubim.
Yes.
And a flaming sword.
Yes.
Which turned every way.
To do what?
To keep the way of the tree of life.
So I didn't want this man no more around me.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can't get back up in there. So you, cause that's why I'll be laying back in a little shy.
Yeah.
I'm not bothering with you because you don't want to listen. See, when you don't want to listen, I can't be bothered with you. That's the thing that we keep telling you. Those that want to be a covenant breaker, you got to cut ties with them. And this is where it comes from. You want to be you want to keep the covenant? You going to make your body a living sacrifice? Yahuwah telling you exactly what to do. Same thing he did to Adam.
Yeah.
He put them big bodyguards over to look at, keep this man away from me. He pay his penalty. See? So this is where you got to understand from the Bible. When you got those that covenant breakers, all you hear from them is their mouth. You got to observe the time, like we read 27 or Sirach 12 and I read. And we read in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, and he said, abort them. And why are you doing this? Because you're following the lead of your Yahuwah. I'm through with this man, because this man now is not talking no good. And good means what, Brother Yahdai Israel? What does good mean, Romans? That's 7 verse 12. So this man no longer talking good no more. So what have he lost by not talking good no more? Romans, chapter 7, verse 12.
The book of Romans.
Back up A.B. up in hold on, back up with Abib in the 19th chapter, verse 16 and 17 of Matthew. Back to back. Watch what it say.
Book of Romans 7, verse number 12 reads, before the Torah instruction is righteous, just, and good.
So he's no longer good because he have forsaken the Torah instruction. So I don't care who you are, you're no longer good. I don't care what deeds you do. If you're not keeping the Torah instruction, you're not good. You can't do no good deeds unless the good deeds are not the Torah instruction. That's when you've done a good deed, when you're keeping the Torah instruction. Come on, Bill.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 16.
What's that?
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master.
What did you call him?
Good master.
Go ahead, read.
What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
It's a question. Hey, good master, what can I do to have eternal life? He's going to tell you. He'll tell you what good things to get eternal life. Go ahead.
Verse 17. And he said unto him,
what did he say?
Why callest you me good?
He said, why are you calling me good?
There is none good but one.
There's none good but one.
That is
what?
Why but the Son.
Mm-hmm.
You,
go ahead.
Father,
go ahead.
Not by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But if you will enter into life.
But if you're going to make it to this thing called eternal life.
Yeah.
Keep the Torah instruction.
Oh. So if you want to get in the Torah instruction, you got to keep the Torah instruction.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I don't care how much goodies you, I've been here before. Yeah. I've taken somebody here, brought them there. Needed a ride. Go to the store and I took his bags in my car and I threw them home and didn't charge him nothing. Okay. That still don't get you Torah. You see what I'm saying?
That's
see, we think that gonna get you. Well, you know, I show my loyalty. No, you show your loyalty, the man gonna get you right. You keep the Torah instruction. You make sure you did that. That will get you some life. Keep the Torah instruction. That is make you good. Is that what we're reading? Is that what we're reading? See? Come on back, Father Yahweh Israel. Come on back to Adam and Eve again. So now we find out some things in Adam and Eve. We head on our way. And like I said, again, we're back on the airways tomorrow. Again, at 7:30, and we'll give you a little bit more. And you might have all in between. We'll see. But now, in the book of Adam and Eve, where you at now, Brother Yahweh Israel?
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 3.
We talked about this, what's coming up now, about... We find out that it's already written in the other book of the Bible, and this is the Bible too. We read in 3:22-24. I'm reading verse 11 again, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 3, verse number 11. He had pity on them, showed them mercy, turning from them, went up to heaven, prayed unto Yahweh and see. Verse 12. Yahweh thou didst send me to watch at the gate of the garden with a sword of fire. Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
When thy servant Adam and Eve saw me, they fell on their face and were as dead. O my Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
what shall we do to your servants? Verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Then Yahweh had pity on them and showed them mercy and sent his minister spirit to keep the garden. Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
The word of Yahweh came unto Adam and Eve and raised them up. Verse 16.
Wait a minute, brother Israel. So you mean you can die. And all Yahweh gotta do what again? What do you gotta do, brother Yahweh Israel?
Raise
by what?
Them up.
By what?
And the word of Yahweh came unto Adam and Eve and raised them up.
The word, all y'all to tell you was the word get up. He ain't got to do no riches. This man, all they got to tell you is the word. This man got so much power. Let's run over to St. John and let's precept that, Brother Yahweh Israel. We're going to precept that over there and show you this man got too much power for us to be thinking about
what he doing. And we're not doing what he got on the table. Let's go to the 11th chapter of St. John. Brother Yahweh Israel. We're going to the 11th chapter. I'll pick up a verse number 1. Then we'll skip a little bit. Let's go to 11, verse 1. Now, what can we say 11, verse 1?
The book of St. John, chapter 11, verse number 1 reads, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Verse number 2. "And it was that Mary, which anointed Yahweh with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Verse number 3. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Yahweh, yo, he whom thou lovest is sick." Verse 4. "When Yahweh the son heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the greatness, the honor of Yahweh, that the son of Yahweh might be honored thereby." Verse number 5. "Now Yahweh the son loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Verse 6. "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abound 2 days still in the same place where he was." Verse 7.
Stop it there. He delivered it, stayed away. You had him lay there for the day he gave him,
yes,
and the 2 more days, so that's 3 days he gave him. He just made so 3 days had passed by,
yes,
and let old Lazarus lay out there,
wow,
in there. You see?
Yes.
So now let's swing down and see what happened. So Yahweh can delay. He can let you, let Adam. You can read about 5 times Adam killed himself. He said,
yeah,
he sent a word down there, go down there and tell him get up.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
This man got all the power.
Mm-hmm.
He can get you up whenever he get ready. He can lay you down when he get ready. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Your time is always. So make sure you got this man right.
Mm-hmm.
So now, let's go look further, Brother Israel, and find out exactly what happened when he finally made there in the verse 40, and what happened next. 11, verse 40.
The book of St. John 11, verse 40. Yahweh said unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the greatness of Yahweh." Verse 41. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Yahweh the son lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me." Verse 42. "And I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people which standeth by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Verse 43. "When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44. "He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Yahweh the son said unto them, Loose him and let him go."
Loose him and let him go. So this man can, and now go to Job chapter 14. See, we got to understand some things. That's probably, you know, we sit there and when something happens, it just defaults us. But you got to recognize Yahweh's hand is in the light, and his hand is in the depth. So you have to recognize this is Yahweh's doing. But you folks, I remember one thing. I still got to do what Yahweh has got written in his book. Because death is a part of life.
Yes.
Life is a part of death. And Job 14, verse 1, look what he said. What he said, Brother Yahweh Israel, take on down to verse 5. 14:1.
The book of Job 14, verse number 1 through 5 reads. Book of Job 14, verse 1. "Man and woman that is born of a woman is of a few days, and full of trouble." Verse 2. "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down." There's a way. He fleeth also as a shadow. Continueth not. Verse number 3. Does thou open thy eyes upon such a one? Bring me into judgment with you. Verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not once. Verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with you. As appointed is bound, but he cannot pass.
He said, so you already been etched in stone when you born and when you're going to leave here. Your time is always. So those that are born of a woman, the time you leaving in this world and the time you leaving out of this world is already orchestrated by thus says Yahweh. So when the time of death hits anybody, you got to understand one thing. That's what was written before the foundation of the world. Who's going to come in at this time and who's going to get up out of here at this time? That's the power of this man has. Now, come on back, Brother T. Israel. Now, give me some more with you and Nicodemus.
Like the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14. I'm at verse 6 now.
You're right.
Here we are, my son, the most merciful son of Yahweh the Father. Come on earth.
Yep.
Raised again the human body of Adam.
So Yahweh the Son is going to come on earth. But you go to a funeral, and every pastor in the funeral have put the one that's dead up and away. Is that right? But now here's Yahweh the Son coming down on earth. You see what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
You see what we're doing? Now you're going to pay a preacher $500 service. Three to five to put your little ones where ain't no man can see or going. Up and away. Yahweh gonna come where?
On earth.
To do what?
To raise again the human body of Adam.
To raise the human body of Adam. So Yahweh gonna come down and raise to come down on earth to raise the human body of Adam. Because Adam is what, brother? Yahweh 3:18, and we reach it out more. Genesis 3. Where is Adam? Where am I? According to Yahweh, where Adam at? According to why you got to come down and raise him up? In Genesis 3, pick up verse 18. Where is he at?
Look at Genesis 3, verse number 18. Read Genesis 3. Verse number 18.
Genesis 3. Yeah, where is he at? Where is he at? Yeah, keep reading where he at. Give me 3:18. Get me started. We'll see.
Look at Genesis 3, verse 18.
Nope. Genesis
Stone
3.
Stone also and twisted shall it bring forth to you.
Right.
And you shall eat the herb of the field. Verse 19. The sweat of your face shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it will thou take it. The dust you are, and unto death shall you return.
So Adam, our first father, he was made from the dust. He only went back to the dust. But every funeral, I don't care who is, what they did, how good or bad they is, they're all up and away. They are all made it. Everybody made it.
Yeah.
But he said, the first man I made, which is my son, he's in the ground. He's going to be in the ground. And now we read, now I'm coming down on the earth because the timeline I gave him, he had fulfilled. His lineage have fulfilled it. So now here I come on the hour to get him. Where, Brother Israel? Where you going to find Adam and that?
Nicodemus chapter 14, verse 6.
Verse 8.
Here we Yahweh the Son, the most merciful of Yahweh the Father. Come on earth.
He come on where?
On earth.
To do what?
To raise again the human body of Adam.
Yep. Great.
And at the same time, to raise up the bodies of the dead.
At the same time, to raise up the bodies of the dead. Mm-hmm. After you get Adam up, he'll get who?
Raise up the bodies of the dead.
The bodies of the dead. Now, let's precept that. Let's see exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians, A, B, or B. Let's see what it says. Can we just go into the Bible and just precept the common thing going on right now? We can read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 exactly what's going on in the 15th chapter, verse number 22 and 23. Now, read 23. Let's see if you can read what going on right now out of the book of Nicodemus and in the book of Adam and Eve that we go read to our regular Bible in the 15th chapter and read 21 down to verse 23.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 23.
21, 22, and 23. Okay. What does it say?
Verse 21. But since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
Verse 22. For as in Adam all died,
right,
even so in Yahweh the Son shall all be made alive.
Okay, okay.
Verse 23. But every man in his own order.
Oh, but this is an order how this thing going to happen. Let's see how what the order is.
Yahweh the Son, the first fruit.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, they are all Yahweh the Son at his coming.
So everybody else going to get up when? At his
coming.
So everybody gonna stay in the ground till when?
It is
coming. And we read about it's coming down there, ain't it?
Yes.
It says every man in his own order.
Yes.
Yahweh the Son is the first fruit from the dead.
Yes.
He the first one gave him the dead.
Yes.
So everybody else before Yahweh, they dead, they still there. The first one was raised from the dead was Yahweh the Son.
Yeah.
Adam, all of them that's back there was in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But now you got your little ones can tell you they are made it.
Yeah.
Up and away.
Yeah.
See? So here's right here. Yahweh the first, and afterwards, after the Father gets the Son back up on the right hand, then afterwards, in time to come, Yahweh will come and raise up the dead at his coming. And we read it right now out of the book of Nicodemus a little bit more detail. This 66 books couldn't tell all the story. It was a big hunk of stuff that had to be told that they just left out. Go ahead, Bartiz. All right,
now back to the book of Nicodemus. I'm about to steal... Okay, the verse 6, have a verse 6. And when he cometh, he'll be baptized in Jordan.
And when he cometh, he'll be baptized in Jordan.
Verse 7. Then was the oil of his mercy. He will anoint all those who believe on him.
And all the ones to be anointed is the ones that's what?
Believe on him.
Just believe on him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the oil of his mercy will continue to future generations.
And all will, go ahead.
For those who should be born of water and of the right spirit and eternal life.
Go ahead.
Verse 8. And when at that time the most merciful Son of Yahweh the Father, Yahweh the Son, should come down on earth.
Come down on earth.
He will introduce our father Adam.
And he going to introduce our father Adam.
And it's a paradise.
To where?
It's the paradise.
So what paradise is that?
Yeah.
It ain't up in the way, me. See, but we didn't tell paradise is up in the way, too.
Ooh.
Paradise is on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
To the tree of mercy.
To the tree of mercy.
Yes.
Well.
Verse 9.
Listen to this.
When all the patriarchs. And seers.
And all the seers.
Heard all these things.
They heard it.
From Seth.
Right.
They rejoiced more.
You see that? So now who's going to hear all this stuff first? According to verse 9.
The patriarchs and all the seers.
So now we got to go read that in the book too.
See, everything is in the Bible. But if you beat me to it, go ahead. In the book of Revelation, it tells you exactly how it's going to happen if I can find me some revelation. So if you got it, Brother Yagdai Israel, let's see exactly how it's going to happen that we can read. In the book of Revelation, Brother Yagdai Israel, so if you got it before me, this thing ain't got no revelation in it. You got it, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Revelation chapter 20.
Yeah, we want to find out exactly about we just read the verse again, read the verse again. How it's gonna be?
Nicodemus chapter 14,
verse 9. Uh-huh.
But all the patriarchs and seers heard all these things from Seth.
Mm-hmm.
They rejoiced more.
So they rejoiced more when they heard it. Now what can we precept that, Brother Yagdai Israel, to make sure John was told the same thing. Exactly how it's going to happen. John was told the same thing. My Bible. You got to play your diet where you go ahead. I'm trying to find me some revelation to pull that up. You got to go ahead.
Book of Revelation chapter 20.
Huh?
Book of Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1. I saw a minister spirit come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Great chain in his hand. Verse number 2. He laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Verse number 3. Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loose a little season. Verse number 4. Now so throne, they set upon them. Judgment was given unto them. Now saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahuwah the Son, for the word of Yahuwah the Father, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. They lived and reigned with Yahuwah the Son 1,000 years. Verse number 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6.
Mm-hmm. But hold on, Brother Yagdai Israel. That's excellent precept, but we want our number one hit will be 11:18. Number one hit will be 11:18. That connect that right in there. Look at this. Read 11:18 of Revelation.
Look at Revelation 11:18. Verse number 18 reads,
The nations were
angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the day
come.
That they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto your servants the seal, to your saints, 12 tribes of Israel, and them that fear your name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them, which destroys the earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, according to 18, who going to get the reward first there, Brother Yagdai Israel? Will it be the 12 tribes of Israel? Who going to get the reward first, according to what we read in 18? Who going to get the first reward first?
And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the seers.
So that's who going to get the first reward. We read in 11 verse 18. Now read that verse 9 again, Brother T. Read that verse 9 again. And then in 14 verse 9, then we'll tie it in, will be 11. To understand, this is how the Bible works.
Book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse 9.
Listen good.
With all the patriarchs.
All the patriarchs.
The 12 tribes of Israel and the seers.
Yeah.
Heard all these things
from
Seth. They rejoiced more.
When all the patriarchs, read that verse again, take your time now. Don't put nothing in there, but let me put the dramatics in there.
Revelation chapter, the book of Nicodemus, chapter 14, verse 9.
What it say?
When all the patriarchs.
All the patriarchs.
And seers.
Mm-hmm.
Heard all these things from Seth. They rejoiced more.
Mm-hmm. So these patriarchs they talking about is the patriarch like Abraham, Isaac, Israel. He's not talking about the children of Israel, period. How we know that? Because not the patriarch, the one that brought the word. How we know that in 18? Read that again, Brother Yakdok, from the top. Let me show you how you tie that in by using Revelation 11, 18. What is the order of things? 11, 18, come on.
Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come.
The nation.
The time of the deed.
It's wrath. Right.
They should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto your servants to see it. To your 12 tribes of Israel, to them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm. So now, who going to get the reward first, according to verse 18, in class? Then what happened after they got it? The 12 tribes. Is that what That's right. Now, that is the order of things. So that what they were talking about, read that on the patriarch, they were talking about the patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, all the ones that brought the word, them the patriarchs. He's not talking about the 12 tribes, period. They don't get their reward until you get it right out of Revelation 11, verse 18. The seal get it first. Then afterwards, the 12 that made it. How that sound? Hallelujah, on that, huh? So that is right there. So that's the order of things. So you can't get around the order of things because the Son shouldn't get around the order that the Father gave him. But now we so learn it, we'll get around be away from the order. No, we got to stick with the order. Brother Yahdai Israel, come on back to the third chapter, and now we find out we clear about some good stuff now. So now, what happened in verse 13 now? Adam and Eve, 3:13, what did it say?
Look at Adam and Eve, first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 3, verse 13 reads, but when your servants, Adam and Eve, saw me, they fell on their faces, whereas they, O my Yahweh, what shall we do to your servants? Verse 14.
Right.
And Yahweh had pity on them and showed them mercy. Then the minister spirit keep the guard. Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of Yahweh came unto Adam and Eve and raised them up.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16. Yahweh said to Adam, I told thee that at the end of 5 days and a half, I will send my word and save you. Verse 17.
Mm-hmm. He said, listen, Adam, I told you already how it's going to happen. Why you don't believe me? He's going to send my word in 5,500 years to take care of his business. So we ain't talking about no next week for you. Yeah. This is you. We're talking about 5,500 years from this point. I'm going to start making some moves, that's what he's saying. So go ahead and read verse 17 and 18.
Verse number 17. Strengthen your mind, therefore, and abide in the cave of treasure, which I have spoken to you. Verse 18.
Right.
And when Adam heard this word from Yahweh, he was comforted with that which Yahweh had told him. For he had told him how he would save him.
And what made Adam, again, verse 18, what comfort Adam in verse 18? A little bit louder, more dear of Israel. Yahweh's word. So that was a. So if you don't get Yahweh's word, you even they'll be comforted. The word comforts you. And when Adam heard this word from Yahweh, that did it. Now let's go to 4 verse 1. You got to go to 4th chapter that Brother Yahdai Israel. Now we better learn some on the way of learning something. 4 verse 1.
The book of, first book of Adam and Eve, 4, verse number 1. For Adam and Eve wept for having come out of the garden their first abound. Verse 2.
Right, so they came out of the garden. Now, so they're out of the garden, now they wept. They wept for them came out of the garden. Go ahead and read.
Verse 2. But Adam and Eve wept for having...
Listen.
Verse 2. And indeed, when Adam looked at his flesh that was altered, he wept bitterly, he and Eve, over what they had done. They walked and went gently down into the cave of treasures. For some of
the that point. Wait a minute. What will happen? What will happen here? They looked at their flesh, and their flesh was altered.
Yeah.
So your flesh, when you came out of the garden, mm-hmm. the flesh that you had in the garden, you didn't longer have that anymore. So now you are lost what you had in the garden.
Yeah.
And that's what Yahweh says over there in, that, in Psalms, that I'm going to give back to you what I didn't take away from you. See, you lost what you had in the garden for being disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to read a little bit more. Watch what Adam says in verse 3. So now you see that Adam and Eve on the left side of the garden is not the Adam and Eve that was in the garden.
Yeah.
After they left out of there, they were, altered. We're going to find out some things along the way, or find out some things that we need to know that was going on in the garden. And that's what the eight, it's going to take us up to the eighth day, was understanding that this is the thing we're trying to get back to, is understanding, but it only happens after the closing of the 7 days. Oh, that's what I'm trying to tell you. After the closing of the 7 days, you're rehearsing about the eighth day, because the eighth day is going to put that alteration back on you that you had if you make it from the 7 days that all Yahweh was given, allowed to take care of his business of the punishment. Now, on that eighth day, he's going to show you that what they was doing in the garden. Verse 3. What did Adam say? 4:3. Adam say.
Number 3 reads, as they came to it, Adam wept over himself and said, to eat. Look at this cave that is to be our prison in this world and a place of punishment.
You see that?
Number 4.
You hear the man said? This man said, this cave we in right now ain't nothing but a place of what? This ain't nothing but a place of punishment. Yeah, everybody trying to hold on to this thing here.
Yeah.
All this crying and moaning and whatever. You're trying to hold on to a cave, a place, a what?
Punishment.
Oh, I'm trying to get my sidewalk and everything together. I'm trying to do all this stuff. Oh, I'm just tying myself out.
Woo!
And all you, and this place is a what?
Punishment.
A place of punishment.
This is our prison in this world.
You see what I'm saying? Verse 4. Look, let's hear a bit more.
Verse number 4, what is it compared with the garden? What is it?
You see that? What is this world compared to getting back where you came from? Adam, your father, saying, look at this stuff in here. What is this compared to what we got coming?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
What, you know, we start, 35 years of my job, 40 years, listen. It is no comparison of what you got coming.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Verse number 5.
Verse 5.
What is this rock by the side of these groves? What is this gloom of this cavern compared with the light of the garden? Verse number 6. What is this overhanging ledge of rock to shelter compared with the mercy of Yahweh that overshadowed us? Verse number 7. What is the soil of this cave compared with the garden land? This earth, strewn with stones, is that planet with delicious fruit trees. Verse number 8. And Adam said to Eve, look at thine eyes, that mine, which afore beheld ministered spirit in heaven, praising a day too, without ceasing. Verse number 9.
Hold that part about y'all got. Read that again. Read verse. Adam turned around and looked right at Eve. And what did he say he seen in verse 8?
Verse number 8. And Adam said
verse
to
eight.
Eve. Verse 8. And Adam said to Eve, look at thine eyes, that mine, which a poor beheld minister spirits in heaven. Praise him. they too, without seed.
He said, before we was to God, we was able to see the ministering spirits and all the good of all, but not the winning world.
Yeah.
Huh? You see?
Yeah.
Verse 9, listen to it.
Verse number 9. And now we do not see as we did. Eyes have become flesh. They cannot see in like manner as they saw before.
Uh-huh.
Verse 10.
Verse 10.
And I said again to Eve, what is our body today compared to what it was in former days when we dwell in the garden? Verse number 11. Now to this Adam did not like to enter the cave under the overhanging rock, nor would he ever have entered it. Verse 12. And he bowed to Yahweh's order and said to himself, if I enter the cave, I shall again be a transgressor.
He said, so now listen, now he came into some talking that we need to hear on this, we need to hear this in chapter 5. Now we want to hear something in chapter 5. Because this is taking us to the understanding of what we're trying to get you to. Because a lot of people don't understand the eighth day. And this is kind of start to tell you something. And Adam 5, pick it up. Go ahead with 5. Go ahead, Brother Yahdai Israel, 5:1.
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 5, verse 1. Then Adam and Eve entered the cave and stood praying in their own tongue, unknown to us, which they knew well. Verse number 2.
They knew their tongue well. The same thing about over there in the Maccabees, the sack of Maccabees, tongue in Semitic. They knew their tongue well, but we don't know the tongue well because we speak in English. But they knew their tongue well because they were speaking the heavenly language, which is Semitic with no vowels. Go ahead, 2.
Verse number 2. And then they prayed out and raised his eyes and saw the rock and up the roof of the cave that covered him overhead so that he could see neither heaven nor Yahweh's creatures. So he wept and smote himself upon his breast. He dropped and was as dead. Verse 3. And he sat weeping, but she believed he was dead. Verse 4. Then she arose, spared her hand toward Yahweh, suing him for mercy and pity. Said, O Yahweh, forgive me my sin, sin which I committed, and remember it not against me. Verse 5. For I alone called your servant to fall from the garden to this lost escape, from light into dark, from the bound of joy into this prison. Verse number 6. O Yahweh, look upon this thy servant thus fallen, and raise him from his death, that he may weep and repent of his transgression committed through me. Verse 7.
Hold that point, Brother Yahdai, is because time will get away from us. And I want to lay a couple more things. But what did you say? Because we got a lot of camps teach about everything in the garden was other people's and everything else, and a whole lot of stuff going on in there. What did she say, eyewitness, say in verse 4? What did the eyewitness say in verse 4?
First book of Adam and Eve, 5, verse 4. Then she arose, spread her hands toward Yahweh, suing him for mercy and pity, and said, O Yahweh, forgive me my sin, sin which I committed, and remember it not against me.
And good. Remember not. And what you say in verse 5? About this.
Verse number 5. For I alone called your servant to fall from the garden into this lost estate, from light into this darkness.
Yeah. You see what you said? I alone caused this to happen. I alone. So all this extra folks around, it wasn't happening. We is the beginning of this thing, and I alone caused this. For time's sake, I'm going to leave that right there. We'll pick that up again tomorrow, but I want to go to the 10th chapter. I want to go to the 10th chapter, Brother Yahdai Israel. I want to read the 10 and the 13th chapter.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the 10th chapter and the 13th chapter.
Yeah.
Listen to what it says in the 10th chapter. Pick up a verse from the top one. Yeah. Listen to this in the 10th chapter, 10 and 13.
First book of Adam and Eve, chapter 10, verse number 1. Then Yahweh merciful and gracious looked upon them, thus lying in the water, and nigh unto death. Then the minister spirit who brought them out of the water laid them on the seashore as dead. Verse 2. Then the minister spirit went up to Yahweh, was welcome, and said, O Yahweh, your creatures have breathed their last. Verse 3. And Yahweh sent his word unto Adam and Eve, raised them from their death. Verse number 4. Mm-hmm. And Adam said, after he was raised, O Yahweh, while we were in the garden, we did not require or care for this water. But since we came to this land, we cannot do without it. Verse 5.
Well, hold on, Israel. Read that again. Read that verse again. When they was in the garden, what he said again?
Verse number 5. Then Yahweh said to Adam, while that was under my... Verse 4. And Adam said after he was raised, O Yahweh, while we were in the garden, we did not require or care for this water. But since we came to this land, we cannot do without it.
Before, when it was in the garden, was they drunk water or not? Was they ate anything or not? It doesn't matter. You don't have the body, the spirit, your body didn't need that stuff. It didn't need no water. Now you know if you go without water a couple of days, you're dead, man, right? So back in the garden, it wasn't, they feed the water, but the water didn't pay them no never mind. They feed the mental spirits. And they sung to him. But now, by coming out of this understanding, everything defaults us. Now we got to have water. Now we got to have food. Whether they ate or not, it didn't cross their mind. They didn't have the genes to be hungry. But after they came out of the garden, now you got all these attributes. You got to eat. You got to drink. You got to do this. You got to do that, right? Adam said before I was in the garden, I feed the water, come and go, and he said, no, never mind. Now he can tell you exactly what he'll be cutting by coming out from under Yahweh's word. And Yahweh going to explain something to you. When you come out from under Yahweh's words, all these things going to fall you. Watch what he say. Come on, Israel. Verse 5 down to verse 9. Hope to be quiet all the way through it.
For some of fact, the Yahweh said to Adam, while that was under my command, it was a bright minister spirit, you knew it not this war. For some of six.
You see that? Hold on. I got to get back in there. He said, when you was under my command, what did he say again? What did he say?
Then Yahweh said that.
What?
While that was under my command, it was a bright minister spirit, you knew it not this war.
You didn't know no water. You didn't want no. You didn't need no water upon me.
Yeah.
See, the point we're making, everything we're doing now, and you trying to hold on to this thing here.
Yeah.
When you was up under my rule, you didn't need to eat or drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what we're reading here? The water didn't pay you no. Never mind. He has to worry about what meal I'm going to pair myself up. He has to create food from heaven, corn, everything,
yeah,
to withstand this, what the name is, body you got right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to tell you shortly what you got right now. You looking all in the mirror, brothers running into walls of bodies and all type of,
yeah,
pulling knives out. You with my knife, pulling knives out. All that wasn't even going on until Adam sinned against Yahweh. So Yahweh saying, once you left out from under my rule, you didn't need none of that. But when you transgress against me, now you need everything. Is that what he's saying? And so you want to continue in this state of mind? See what he's saying? That's why the man keeps telling you something. We got to put this thing together. Go ahead and read again, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Verse number 5. Yahweh said to Adam, while that was under my command,
was a bright minister spirit. You knew it not, this water. Verse number 6. Rather thou hast transgressed my Torah structure, thus cannot do without water, wherein to watch your body, make it grow, for it is not like that of beasts, and is it want of water. Verse 7. When Adam and Eve heard these words from Yahuwah, they wept a bitter cry. And Adam entreated Yahuwah to let him return into the garden. Look at it a second time.
He said, let me get back in the garden and look back at it a second time. But what Yahuwah say behind that?
Verse number 8. But Yahuwah said unto Adam, I made thee a promise. That promise is fulfilled.
Yep.
Or bring you back into the garden. You and your righteous seed. Verse 9. Yahuwah ceased commune with Adam.
Read verse 8 again. Read verse 8 again.
Verse number 8. Yahuwah said unto Adam, I have made you a promise. That promise is fulfilled. Of bringing you back into the garden. You and your righteous seed.
It does something. I'm going to bring you back in the garden. And your righteous seed. So remember, if you ain't a Torah keeper, you're not getting back in the garden. Is that what I'm saying? I'm going to bring you back out. And what can I teach you? So you see why it's so important to understand, keep the Sabbath days, keep the feast days. That's the only way you can be righteous. Right? Them the ones going back into the place. But it came out of the garden. 3:13, we'll close out with 13 there, Brother Yahshua. It's going to get a little bit of 13 in the 13th chapter. I'm going to skip over this. The rest of the 12 of number 7. Okay. But, let's start, Brother Yahshua Israel. And 13, Abel said, right, let me get in there and get me some of that 13 too, okay? All right, Abel. Come on, start off with Brother Yahshua. Let's get a little bit in there.
Okay,
I'm going to close the statement. And Abel, I'm have it at pick up at verse 13. 13 out of 21.
Let's
look at
Adam 13. Verse number 1 reads, and when Yahuwah, and full of pity, heard Adam's voice, he said unto him, verse 2,
uh-huh.
So Adam, so long as the good minister spirit was obedient to me, a bright light rested on him and on his host. Verse 3,
right.
But when he transgressed my Torah structure, I deprived him of that bright nature, and he became dark.
Yep.
When he was in heaven, in the realms of light, he was not of darkness. Verse 5, he transgressed, and I made him fall from heaven upon the earth. It was this darkness that came upon him. Verse 6, and on thee, O Adam, while in my garden, obedient to me, that bright light rest also. Verse 7, when I heard of your transgression, I deprived you of that bright light. Yet of my mercy, I did not turn thee into dark, but I made thee thy body of flesh. For which I spread the skin in order that it may bear cold and heat. Verse 8.
Yeah, hold on, Brother Yahshua Israel. So you see what we got here now? He said, I put the skin on you that now you can withstand cold and heat.
Yeah.
So I put this on you. So you see this thing you love to see? Yahshua said, I put this thing on you. Now I'm telling you why I put it on you. For a reason. To abstain cold and heat. That's why this thing on you. See, when you're in the garden, you didn't have this thing on you. But I put this flesh on you, over you, and spread over thy skin in order that it would make you bare, cold and heat. You see what's going on here? Huh? So we in the mirror looking at this thing. Oh, God. Man, listen. If you only know. Verse 8.
But I let my wrath fall heavily upon you. I shall have destroyed you
that I turned thee into darkness would have been as if I killed you. Verse 9.
Yeah.
But in my mercy, I made thee as thou art. And thou didst transgress my Torah instructions, O Adam. I drove thee from the garden and made thee come forth to this land. Commanded thee to dwell in this cave. And darkness came upon you, as it did upon him who transgressed my Torah instructions. Verse 10. Thus, O Adam, as this night deceived thee, it is not to last forever, but it is only to 12 hours. When it is over, daylight will return. Verse 12. Try not, therefore, neither be moved. Say not in thy mind that this darkness is long and drags on wearily. And say not in thy mind that I plague thee with this. Verse 12. Strengthen to your mind and be not afraid. This darkness is not a punishment, but O Adam, I made the day, and I placed the sun in it to give life, in order that thou and thy family should do work, do your work.
So, when they was in the garden, they never seen the light that we seeing right now, the sun, moon, that wasn't even there. They had one big old light. He have never seen what we're looking at right now. We're in a garden up under Yahweh's protection. So it wasn't no time for him to, well, it done got dark, I need to lay down, here comes the sun. Adam, if you kept reading this book, or back four a little to the right, left, when Adam sees the sun for the first time, he thought that was Yahweh to plague him.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So this is what we're saying. All the elements we're going through right now is a punishment to us.
Yeah.
Adam never had to worry about none of that sun going up or down, nine times to lay down, nine times to get up and do some work. He didn't do nothing until he sinned. And that's what we're trying to get back to. That's why we're going to show you tomorrow night lesson that the timeline is in a hand. That's why we're rehearsing this thing. Brother Yahweh Israel, closing statement. You on the clock. Action again. Come on.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The wind is rolling out, see Israel, a sea royal. Great word, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, excellent again. Brother Yahweh Israel. So now, we're going to keep on a couple more minutes that's on the network. ABF will pick up at 13. Pick up Mother DF to ABF get back. Pick up verse 13. Yeah, here she come back. Pick up 13.
Adam and Eve.
Chapter 13, verse 13. Take it down to verse 15, and T is right, pick up at 16 out of 21.
Verse 13.
What does it say?
For I knew you should have sinned and come out into the land.
He said, I already knew what you was going to do, Adam. See, this is the power. He already know what you're going to do. He already know what I'm going to do. He already knew what you're going to do, Adam. You're going to let somebody get in your ear and pull you way up under what I'm saying. And that was going on today.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yet would I not force you, nor be heard upon you.
He said, I'm going to watch you beat yourself. I told you what I'm saying. Like you told us now. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep the feast day. Wear your fringes. I know some ain't going to do that. They going to kick against that. But that ain't going to change nothing. Adam, I knew what you were going to do. I already knew what you were going to do before you did it. I watched you beat yourself and the whole creation. Go ahead.
Nor shut up, nor doom you. Thou fall, nor you're coming out from light into darkness.
See, now you left the light, and now you're in darkness.
And now you're trying to hold on to this darkness. You done left the light. And now we're trying to hold on to this darkness. We're trying to do everything we can to not shut this thing down, you know, because this man made a big threat about what you don't do. If you don't do this, you don't do this. Listen, we're doing everything we can how to keep up with this man right here, but not this man in the Bible. Go ahead.
Nor yet who you're coming from the darkness to this land.
Right.
14. For I made you of the light.
I made you of the light.
And I will to bring out children of light from you and life unto you.
He said, I'm gonna bring children out of light and life of you. Now we're gonna read today. We're gonna preach that for that. Or if that's on you, but he's here at 5. He's gonna preach to that.
That's right.
See, the priest of what children he's talking about that he's going to bring from the darkness to light. It's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, and we read down, and only you can go out to the light through a word that's going to be laid on down the line, it's going to be told to us. What does it say in 5:1?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1.
Look
it's
good. Reading.
But of the time and of the seasons, brethren, you have not need that I write unto you.
Right.
Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so cometh as a thief in the night.
Right.
Verse 3. But when they shall say peace and safety.
You know, otherwise this man trying to let you know everything is okay. Do this. Yeah. Why y'all don't understand? Do what I tell you to do it. You know? He's... I'm going to show you peace and safety. He said, and when you hear that conversation about the eighth, what they call that thing, and say it's so safe for you.
Yeah.
Now you're hearing what they're saying now. So when you start hearing all this love in and peace and safety,
right?
What do you say?
There's something the destruction come upon them.
You see what you're saying? That's
why they're
huh?
Yeah.
So now all that when you, right, well, let's buy into what they, what the president on and his cabinet on. He's okay. You go ahead and buy into that. When everybody think it's a good old loving and kissing, then what will happen?
Suddenly destruction come upon them.
Right.
And travail upon a woman.
Yeah.
Child.
Right.
And they should not escape.
And you're not going to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Verse 4.
What?
But your brethren.
But your brethren now.
Are not in darkness.
But you're not in darkness. You're not in the world. He told you plainly, Mother D.F. Israel, 18, verse 4, Revelation.
Yeah.
What he told you, Mother D.F. Israel, in 18, verse 4, of Revelation. What he tell you? What he tell you there, Mother D.F. Israel?
Okay. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4.
Yeah, what did he say?
And I heard another voice from heaven saying.
Saying what?
Come out of her, my people.
Come out of her, my people.
That you be not partakers of her sins.
Uh-huh.
And that you receive not of her plague.
Uh-huh. Well, what are you saying, verse 11? 10 and 11? Verse 10 and 11? Yep. Same book. 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11.
Oh, verse 10 and 11.
Uh-huh.
Verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon.
That great city Babylon.
That mighty city.
That mighty city, United States of America.
For in 1 hour.
And well, I don't need any.
1 hour.
Go ahead.
Is your judgment come.
1 hour. Your judgment going to come. Verse 21. And what are you going to do in that 1 hour?
Verse 21.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 21.
What does it say?
And a mighty ministering spirit took up a stone,
yes.
A great millstone,
yes.
And cast it into the sea,
mm-hmm.
Saying,
what does it say?
Thus, with violence,
shall
that great city,
United States of America, with violence, United States of America,
be thrown down.
It's gonna be thrown down.
And shall be found no more.
It ain't gonna be. And you will have 5 or 6 shots in your arm, and you'll be part of the found no more. You see what's going on here?
Yeah.
He let you know that
what he got on the table, you know.
Shit. Come on back, bro.
That's why.
All right, I'm at First Thessalonians.
He's telling you everything, and you try to figure out what decision to make.
Yes.
He may be telling you exactly what I'm going to do, and how I'm going to do, and how I'm way back there. And I don't care how much money you got, we can't find nobody to get past 120 years old. And this man got 120 million years about him, and you don't hear none of these things? Keep reading, brother. All right,
I'm at verse 4. That the day shall overtake you as a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5. You are all the children of light.
You all the children of light. Same thing he telling Adam. Out of you gonna come the children of light. So the children of light is the one you hear talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prophecy way back over here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. Come on back to Adam and Eve. Come on, believe it. Let me stop right there. Go back to where we at and finish that verse up there, brother. Yeah. Let's bring our elder in before he gets his closing statement, and we'll continue a little bit more, and then we get to eat him up and drink him up. Come on back to what we was at in, what was that, 10th chapter?
No, 13.
Okay, all right, come on, finish that up.
Okay. First of Adam and Eve, chapter 13, verse 14. For I made you of the light, and I will to bring out children of light from you, and like unto you.
Yep, and like unto you. Adam was made from the ground, right? So what Adam looked like? Dark skinned man from the ground, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring in children that look just like you. That gonna be just like you.
Yeah.
Is that what the man's saying?
Yeah.
So he ain't talking about the red man. It is right there. In verse 14, he's gonna be just like you. Go ahead, 15.
But thou didst not keep one day.
Not keep one day.
My sore instruction until I had finished the creation and blessed everything.
Come on, brother. All
right, first book Adam and Eve, chapter 13, 16, and 21.
Well, tell you what, let's bring our elder in and get a closing statement on this, then we'll finish up in class. Let's bring our elder in and get his final thoughts on the seventh day of the feast. Elder Mathias, come on back and get your final thoughts on this seventh day, the final of the feast. You're on the clock, come on. What you saying, WCC? Here we gonna mute somebody. Why not the elder? Oh, okay. Well, that what you're saying, huh? No, okay. Well, you gonna mute the elder. All right. Call back, bro, T. You said they gotta mute somebody.
First book Adam and Eve, chapter 13, verse 16 to 21.
What it say?
Then I commanded you concerning the tree that you eat, not thereof. Then I knew that Satan who deceived himself.
So I told you don't eat of the tree. We found the tree was lies, right?
Yeah.
I told you don't eat no lies. I told you what to do, what not to do. But you did it anyway. I'm not going to blackjack you without telling you something. Right, he tell you what not to do. That's on you.
Y'all
go ahead.
Who deceived himself. He also deceived you.
See, he deceived himself by thinking he can be, you know, more than what he is.
Yes.
He deceived himself. Go ahead.
17.
What?
So I made known to thee by means of the tree.
Go ahead.
Not to come near him.
Right.
And I told you not to eat of the fruit thereof.
That's right. Don't eat no lies from where you got it from. You know, if you say them, Satan or your wife. That's the only way the lies can claim to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Nor to the taste of it. Nor yet it sit under it. Nor to yield to it.
That means, and don't even yield to backbiting, murmuring, complaining. You know, I told you what to do to live. My thing's reached out, and I let this on. You know. Give me all 7:21, and I'm out of it. You take it from there, but I tell you, it's ready. Y'all, I'm through. I'm ready to eat them up and drink them. 2nd Ezra
7:21, David. Yeah, 2nd Ezra 7:21. What does it say?
2nd Ezra. You're going to 2nd Ezra this year, chapter 7.